Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dermot Whelan here in for Oliver today. He's back on Monday. It's Friday, the 7th of November, and I'm with you until 10. Let us know what you're thinking in the usual way. You can text us 51551. I've absolutely loved all your messages this week, so keep them coming in today. If you're in a WhatsApp mood, 0870 32 32 32. Or you can send longer thoughts by email to oliver@rte.ie. Oh my goodness, we have a brilliant show for you this morning. I am very excited to meet a hero of comedy, Michael Palin of Monty Python fame, he of the immortal line, "Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition," as well as all the wonderful movies you made, like A Fish Called Wanda and The Death of Stalin, which I was rewatching last night just to get myself in the mood. And of course, he brought us all these wonderful characters.
I mean, things were really bad, and they still are.
Did you say ex-leper?
That's right, sir. 16 years behind a bell, I'm proud of you, sir.
Well, what happened?
Oh, cured, sir.
Cured?
Yes, a bloody miracle, sir. God bless you.
Well, who cured you?
Jesus did, sir. I was hopping along, minding my own business. All of a sudden, up he comes, cures me. 1 minute I'm a leper with a trade, next minute my livelihood's gone. Not so much as a fire.
That last one is definitely him. The first one, not so much. But Michael Palin, he's also made much acclaimed travel documentaries, which have taken him to the North and South Poles, the Himalayas, North Korea, Iraq, and now to Venezuela. So I cannot wait to talk to him. And if you have any questions you'd like me to put to Michael Palin, 51551. So looking around, what's in the news today? And look, we all know our phones are now surgically attached to our hands, but could they be dictating our social lives altogether? Well, in today's Irish Times, Eimear McGlaisid says she's worried she might be doing things only to capture them on her phone. And we had a good laugh about this in the office today because I wondered, do you feel the same way? Eimear poses the old question asked by Irish philosopher George Berkeley. If a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a sound? And revamps it too. If you go to a concert and don't get a video, were you really there at all? And if you've been to a gig in the last 10 years, you'll have noticed this phenomenon, of course, whereby your view of the stage is obscured, sometimes completely blocked by masses of glowing devices, all recording videos that might never see the light of day. You always have to wonder how many of these people are actually watching these like 15-minute videos that they're recording. It's very annoying, it has to be said, when people hold up their phones and block your view. The worst, of course, of all are the iPad people. Yes, they're still out there. The people who hold their iPads over their heads. I mean, you might as well be holding up your flat screen TV. But I'll tell you what, if you ever want to be blocked from seeing the stage, go to a gig in the Netherlands. Oh my God, those people are tall. We literally must look like a nation of complete leprechauns to them. I was at a gig in a place called Tilburg recently in the Netherlands, and I walked into what was very much a land of giants to me. I saw nothing for the entire show. Eventually, I had to sort of half climb up a pillar. You know, like those lads you see in old footage of Italian 90 celebrations in Dublin where there's some guy hanging off a lamppost. That was me. I had to do it. At one point, I found myself thinking, I wonder what would that guy ahead of me there say if I just offered him 50 quid to get up on his shoulders for 15 minutes? It'd be weird at the start, but I think I'd cope with the awkwardness of being on a strange man's shoulders if it meant I could actually see something. I'm 5'9", which in Ireland I have been constantly reassured is average height. Would you say yes? I'm getting a thumbs up from men of similar height behind the glass here in the production studio. Yes, apparently that's average. However, in the Netherlands, it would make me Michael D. That would be my average height. Apparently, and I would love to know if this is true, though, that tall people at a gig give each other a secret salute, like a little nod of smug acknowledgement. They look around, and when they catch each other's eye, there's just a little, I see you there. Just for being part of the really tall people's club. You know, like when people in classic cars drive by each other, there's a gentle salute as if to say, I get it. We are of the same world view. And for classic car fans, it's, I understand how much you spend in the garage. And the view, I tell you what though, the view up there must be amazing. For people who are, you know, 6'4", 6'5", it just must be wonderful to have those uninterrupted views at concerts in particular. You know, when I go there, I'm like, what are they thinking? I think it's like, you know, when you go into someone's house and they have a sea view and you're like, wow, the world looks very different from here. I do think, though, however, that the whole concert thing is very unfair. There should be, I think it's heightist. There should be a system. There should be, like, really tall people should not be allowed to spread themselves around the venue willy-nilly. It should be tiered. We do it for photos. Why not gigs? Tall people at the back, shorter to the front, or at the very least, if you're 6'4", crouch down in the front on one knee, you know? Like you've just signed for Leicester City. You know, they do that in those photos. All I'm saying is we need a system, okay? This free-range approach to concerts where tallies wander where they like, it's gone on too long. And if there are Dutch people listening, you definitely need a system, you tall freaks. Or at the very least, maybe we could introduce a system of booster seats like you have for your kids at the cinema. You know, or the step you give your toddlers to use the toilet when they're being toilet trained. I'll use it. I don't care. I'm not proud. If I can see the band, I'll be happy. Tall people, can you let me know if the secret nod at gigs, that little unspoken club, is that a real thing? 51551 or 0870 32 32 32. Michael Palin's pretty tall, actually, isn't he? I think I'll ask him when he comes in if he's a part of this exclusive club. In movie news, the trailer for the new Michael Jackson biopic. I'm never sure. Is that word biopic or biopic? Or can you just literally take your pick? Yeah, okay. I'm going to say biopic. Michael is the name of it. I wonder, have you seen the trailer? It has dropped, as they say in those circles. Here's a little clip. It's a mime movie.
Q, can you lower the lights for me, please?
Okay, but remember, in here, keep those feet still, my man. I know you've been waiting a long time for this. The tracks are made. The songs are ready. Let's take it from the top. This is your story. Honor your past. So you wanna be starting soon? And embrace the future. That's what people want.
Sounds interesting, doesn't it? He might have created some of the greatest and most influential pop and R&B of the 20th century, but his life, particularly towards the end, of course, was dogged by controversy as child sexual abuse allegations began to surface, followed by a number of million-dollar settlements with accusers. He died in 2009. Just, it's hard to believe that's long ago. It's that long ago, isn't it? At the age of just 50, as a result of acute propofol intoxication. Jackson's nephew, Jafar Jackson, plays Michael in the film, and Coleman Domingo plays his father, Joe. The trailer includes all the iconic moments when you see it, from the moonwalk to the Thriller video, and seems to have sidestepped some of the dark and disturbing chapters of its life. At least they're not putting it in the trailer. It's said that the film might humanize but not sanitize. Dan Reed is a man who directed the Leaving Neverland documentary. Do you remember that one? Which focuses on two men who accuse Jackson of sexual abuse. He read a draft of the script of the film and described it as a complete whitewash. But it has been redone. They've been working on it some more because the film originally wrapped production in May 2024. But extensive reshoots were needed for various reasons, including alleged legal reasons. A year later, bringing the budget up to a reported $155 million. It's reported that in a previous version of the film, Jackson was portrayed as an alleged victim of extortion. But they then went back and reshot it. So it's still a mystery as to what version of events it's going to portray. It's scheduled for release in April of next year. I think a lot of people will watch it. I think there's a part of many people that just don't want all the stories to be true and still love the music. It'll be interesting to see just how the film handles it. I'm sure there's also a lot of people who feel it shouldn't be made in the first place and shouldn't be glorifying his career. But it's hard to fathom For more recent generations, I think, just how famous he was in the 80s in particular. You know, in the 80s, it was a triumvirate. It was Michael Jackson, Madonna and the Pope. They were kind of like the semi-holy trinity of fame. And I remember around the Thriller period in particular, collecting Michael Jackson cards that came with a little stick of gum inside. Anyone else remember those? The gum kept its flavour for about 4 seconds. I do remember it tasting very strongly of cardboard. Different days back then, because we were so used to seeing everything on demand now with the likes of YouTube and all. But back then, for music videos, you might only catch a glimpse of a music video once or twice a week. So it was a big deal, you know, particularly in two-channel land, like I was growing up in Limerick. But Thriller was the first video I remember with an appointment to view, as opposed to other videos that just came out for bands and just appeared on whatever, Music Box or MTV, whatever it was. This one was due to be shown on a certain day at a certain time, and sure, most of the country watched it. And the general reaction was at the time, when the Thriller video was shown, that's amazing. That's what people just thought. It's very cool. Unlike these days when everyone is on social media and everyone has to say everything is lame. But would you go and see the Michael Jackson film in the cinema? You can let us know. 51551 or 087-032-3232. Now to the richest man in the world. And how much richer is he going to get? Elon Musk, chief executive of Tesla, of course, is in line for a record-breaking $1 trillion pay deal. Can you believe that? $1 trillion. He's already worth $400 billion. But over the next 10 years, if Elon hits certain performance targets, he will receive stock worth $1 trillion. The pay deal was voted on by shareholders and designed by the board. Some of the terms include increasing the value of the company on the stock market nearly 6 times its current level. It's hard to get our heads around these numbers. Like a trillion is 1,000 millions. It's a one basically, and then 12 zeros. Okay, massive numbers. I'll try and make them a bit more comprehensive. If we talk about it in terms of time, okay. I know my friends are like, Dermot's doing maths. How did that happen? A million seconds. Well, that's just 11 and a half days. Okay. Move into the billions and you move to years. So a billion seconds is 31.7 years. That would take you back to 1996. And a trillion, well, that's 31,689 years. So it's hard to comprehend. Some people might find it a bit easier to talk in real value. So if I had $1 trillion, what could I buy? Let's look at it that way. Yeah, with $1 trillion, you could buy 854,700,854,700 litres of milk. If you have teenagers, that should get you through a week. You could buy 1.6 million homes in Dublin, going off average prices. Best of luck finding a million homes to buy in Dublin, but just for the sake of this. You could film Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker more than 2,000 times. That is one of the most expensive movies ever made. You could buy the stolen Louvre jewels almost 10,000 times over. And with $1 trillion, you could buy 2.9 million Leinster House bike sheds. Our one National Children's Hospital. But that would probably still come in over the original $1 trillion budget. But yeah, I guess you start to ask the question, how much money is too much money, or how much money is enough money? Were you watching telly last night? It was the final of the Celebrity Traitors on the BBC. Now, if you've recorded it and are trying to avoid spoilers, then best of luck with that, because it's all over the papers. It's all over online, social media, everywhere. But look, if you've managed it, you can avert your ears for the next 60 seconds or so. It was an epic show with an unexpected twist. Yesterday, we discussed how it appeared going into the final that the Faithful, led by England rugby star Joe Marler, were on to the two traitors, Cat Burns and chatty man Alan Carr, mainly because Carr just seems so obvious. He's just a terrible liar. The London Times described him today as the man with the worst poker face in Britain and a stage whisper like a wailing banshee. Let's remind ourselves again of Alan trying to reassure his fellow players that he's not a traitor.
Alan.
I am a favourite.
I am a favourite. I just get nervous.
Oh, Alan.
He just couldn't keep it together. I love him so much. And so it seemed last night that the ending was preordained. Kat got banished first as she left. Jo Marler mouthed the word sorry to her. And on that basis alone, though, his best pal, or Hundy, as Jo described him, actor Nick Mohammed, decided that this had to make Jo the final traitor. And at the last minute, he changed his vote from Alan to Jo. Marler, a brick wall of a man, actually looked like he'd been assaulted. He felt the whole thing. And so Alan Carr, in a white bejeweled suit, was left victorious despite hiding in essentially plain sight for the entire thing. This was the moment he revealed himself to Nick and historian David Olusoga.
I am, and have always been, a traitor.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Oh.
It's been tearing me apart. I'm so sorry.
Oh. You did brilliantly.
You did brilliantly.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes, you're hearing the winner of the entire show be consoled by all his fellow contestants who lost. It's just brilliant. That's a reaction only a celebrity version could manage. The beaten players running to hug and comfort the upset Carr. You did brilliantly, darling. It's all very lovely altogether. As they were playing for charity, the stakes were a little lower, in fairness. If you'd just seen £82,000 slip away, if it was money just going to punters, you wouldn't be running up to hug him. You'd probably give him a slap. But well done, Alan Carr, anyway. The winning money is going to a kids' cancer charity, and that's good, sure, isn't it? And well done to the BBC. Many worried a celebrity version wouldn't be as engaging, but it's been the highest rated show of the year in the UK. And I wonder, will the bosses here at RTE decide? We need a celeb version as well. Who would you like to see in it? 51551 or 0870 32 32 32. Well, we've got comedy legend and worldwide traveller Michael Palin coming in to join us in just a few minutes. He's in the building. I can't wait to meet him. And I have heard over the years that he's a big Bruce Springsteen fan. So we'll play this one for Michael. And sure, who isn't? 51551. Good morning, everybody.
I get up in